Well, I'm really interested in a particular kind of love poem, and I'm actually interested in writing poets who write through forms of requited love, and hers is so obviously an unrequited love. And one reason I'm interested in a requited love is not for requited love per se, although that's a happy thing, but because I think that it's through imagining a closeness to the lover that a particular felicitous kind of poetic speech is created. In poems of unrequitedness, in poems of abandonment, you almost always get that strong, individuated poetic speaker because now there is a poetics, not just of desire and love, but there's a poetics of complaint. And how can you complain except as oneself in one's own most insistent and demanding voice? And I don't see her within the particular genre. With Williams, I see him much closer, as I said, to the genre poets that I'm interested in when he's writing actually more ecstatic form of verse, such as Spring and All. And even then, his ecstasy inheres really in things, in ways that the poets that I just mentioned, in actual objects, in ways that the poets that I just mentioned almost always turn to poetic relations. I really love Williams as a poet of things. So when he says no ideas, but in things, it's like people want to extend that poetics, but actually it's such a great poetry for him. And I think that's why I think your website is particularly great, because in pulling out some of the things, I think the poem was actually enriched. Because it's very, that's where I find him most interesting, not as a moralist, not as somebody who's very worried about himself in his world, but I find him most engaging as a poet who is capable of kind of creating a kind of phenomena of thing or of things, like a love is eyeglasses poem, my love is roses obsolete poem. In this particular work, I pulled out a couple passages that I really love. I like the one on page 29. This does verisimilitude, by the way. It conjures a time and a place and a presence, but it does it through things. He picked a hairpin from the floor and stuck it in his ear, probing around inside. The melting snow dripped from the cornice by his window, 90 strokes a minute. He described in the linoleum at his feet a woman's face, smelled his hands, strong of a lotion he had used not long since, lavender, rolled his thumb about the tip of his left index finger and watched it dip each time like the head of a cat licking its paw, heard the faint filing sound it made. Of earth his ears are full, there is no sound, and his thoughts soared to the magnificence of imagined delights, where he would probe as into the pupil of an eye, as through a hoople of fire, and emerge sheathed in a robe. And so it kind of goes out from there, the trees streaming with rain, so it kind of hits its own kind of sublime. But I think Williams is really terrific when he's conjuring scenes, not as kind of a large verisimilitude scape, but he's conjuring particular worlds that he makes present through objects. Williams is much more into the field poetics, the libidinal field poetics, through things and in his early writing. And I think he is, maybe to his credit, he's truly troubled by his own wayward love inclinations and a great love that he has for his wife, Flossie. For instance, even in his great love poem, Asphodel, That Greeny Flower, it's a beautiful poem and it's a moralizing poem. And in that poem, the moralizing kind of gets absolved into the poem. And I think it's really, really, really good. I think that's a really great poem. But there's clearly moments in that poem where he ends up in very dry places that he doesn't know how to get himself out of because he is truly morally troubled. And that's the thing that Marcia Nardi may say, you chose a protected life, you're not living your life, which is very interesting that she says that to Williams because that's Williams' claim on the poetry scene was that he lived life and that all the other poets were ivory tower poets, I mean his peers like Pound, H.D. and Eliot, in Europe, claiming versions of high culture. Williams lived life. He was a doctor. His ethos in Spring is All is to write poetry from life. And yet, in this particular, one perspective we get on him through Marcia Nardi is that, no, he's a man of literature, and he wants the protected life. She sees it as a protected enclave of literature, and maybe also she sees it, but doesn't say it as much, the protected enclave of being a professional doctor with a steady income, that indeed he chose a protected, respectable life that he wants to be true to, but he's not, or he can't be. And he is really bothered by that morally. That makes him a different kind of poet. And so that perhaps when he's in love with things or he's invested in things as his form of requited poetry, it's where he has a clearer route to libidinal energies because those things don't trouble him.